Now, welcome back. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Peter Gowan, an old friend of mine. We go back a long, long time, as his father and I did. And Peter is appearing in Country and Irish by Patrick McCabe. It's presented by Fight to Flight Theatre in association with Smock Alley Theatre. And it's on tomorrow night in the Mall Arts Centre. Peter, delighted to have you in studio.
Very nice to be back again, and very nice to be back in y'all with a piece of theatre. It's 10 years almost to the day when I came, when I first performed The Chronicles of Ogle, the play I wrote myself,
yes,
in the Town Hall, and that was a great event for me. It was very well attended, a lot of old school friends in there, and you know, and it was a great evening of theatre, but it was very upsetting for a number of people, and I can understand why, and they've never really kind of managed to resolve that. However, I recently did that play again in Dublin, and it still is kind of, it still resonates in a way that's very positive, and it's very funny, and that kind of issue has never really quite gone away, and that is the kind of the care of children by the Irish state in the 60s and 50s, 60s and 70s was really, really dreadful. And certainly as a child who kind of went to the Christian Brothers, I met somebody recently and he said, he was from Villierstown. And I said, oh, did you go to school in Yall? And he said, I did, yeah, the torture chamber is what he called it.
I know. Well, I went to Christian Brothers in Ennis and I can tell you it was no better. You know, that's all I can say. But funnily...
But anyway, no, but that's not... I mean, the thing about my writing, about that play is actually a comedy. It's a funny look at things, but it also is important for people... You know, whatever sometimes you have to tell your narrative, and by telling your story, it kind of frees you from all the anxiety and kind of negativity that associated with that. And so it was very therapeutic for me to do it, you know.
Mm.
And so.
They used to always say as doctors that it's very hard to be a prophet in your own town, which is why I wasn't a GP in Ennis, I was a GP in Yall. Did you find it hard coming back?
No, it didn't. But I found I was disconnected from the town for many years. I mean, I left when I was 17, I failed my leaving cert. I guess I was very young. I was only 17 and a half when I left school. But I think from an early age, having spoken to somebody, I was sick a few years ago and I got some counselling from the Macmillan charity in England.
In the UK,
it's a place,
yeah,
called Maggie's, which is a drop-in centre for people who are approaching cancer or getting over cancer. And I worked with this person and we went back to through my life and why I had this particular approach, like I was going to fight cancer, I'm going to beat it. And then I kind of began to understand that that's how I've approached a lot of things in my life. And so the whole lot of behaviours based around trying to protect myself. And I kind of discovered that, well, that came out of just being in a dangerous environment in school. But what meant that it was that I didn't engage with academically either, and I failed miserably, like I'm a bright person. So when I left Yall, I kind of felt I had negative feelings about the place. And it was only then just as I got older and I started bringing my kids back and started to really kind of enjoy the place, enjoy the sea and enjoy the and just begin to take out that kind of filter of negativity that I began to kind of think, like, do you know what, I actually love the place. And I really do. I mean, when I come home, whether I'm approaching from Waterford, Cork or Tallow, when I see those lights, something happens to me, you know, and I really love it. So my relationship has been a kind of an on-off one. Like, I moved to England in 1988 and there was a period when I didn't come back to y'all for, I don't know, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I didn't see my mum and dad. I was very busy now. But it's about refinding. It's about identifying these kind of blocks that you have in your kind of your approach to something and trying and gaining a better understanding, becoming wiser about how you are, how you're operating, and freeing yourself up then from the sort of behaviours associated with that can kind of that are kind of make you difficult to deal with. You know, I was quite an angry person. I had a reputation, really, not for a long time, but in certain roles I could be tricky, and I think it all emanated from that. You know, and that's why the theatre company is called Fight or Flight, that adrenaline based approach to everything, you know. So, I mean, I'm saying this in a rather long winded way, but the thing is that I grew up in Yall, and the time I wasn't in school, I enjoyed massively because my parents were very keen for us to have freedom. You know, they saw us for meals, and that was it. I was down on the beach or in a boat, or it was great. But the schooling was horrible. I just have no... I mean, one or two teachers were nice, but that was just against a background of a bunch of thugs, basically. As far as
yeah,
I
but
see.
That was 1950s and 60s Ireland,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Was,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, we all sort of grew up in that. Because I must admit that and since I've retired, I find you all an absolutely fabulous town. My three kids think it's the centre of the earth. One of my daughters moved back to town. You know, so it's amazing.
It's a beautiful place, yeah, absolutely. My brother's taken on my mum's house now in Strand House, where the surgery used to be. Paddy Gowan, who was a dentist in Dublin, sold up his practice and then he's come down to live there, and he travels up to Cork to work as a dentist for somebody else and loves it because he doesn't have to run the business.
Yeah, yeah.
So and he's kind of got web feet. We've all got web feet. All four brothers, we love the sea, and so to be able to kind of just stay in the house and sit out in the garden and look out the bay, and we've kind of boats and we have every manner of transportation known to man that floats. So this afternoon we're going up in a Canadian canoe. We're going up the river anyway, up beyond Villierstown. There's yeah. an ornamental bridge over a river, and there we've done the touring, and we've done various. We did the river up to we ended up in Castle Marta. We wanted to go to Killa. But we went in, so you go in on the tide, and that carries you all the way
yeah.
up, and then you turn around. So that. So, but we paddleboard, surf, windsurf, snorkel, you name it, we do it, and you all is a brilliant place to do all those things.
Now we're going to talk about tomorrow night's play.
Yeah.
But before that, I'd like to talk about Hangman, Martin McDonagh's play. You've been in that; that got brilliant reviews.
It was a very Martin McDonagh is a brilliant writer. What he creates is a beautifully structured play. But there are always challenges in trying to produce a play, because you've got to get the right people, they've got to get on. You need a director who understands what the rigours are of the demands of a text. Now, I wouldn't say that Martin McDonagh's like Shakespeare, but there are certain aspects of Shakespeare where there's use of language, how things are stressed, how it's punctuated, that unless you observe those, it's not going to make any sense. And in McDonagh's sense, if you observe them, you will get laughs in places you wouldn't expect. But also at the telling of the story, he makes it easy for you, but you can make it tremendously difficult for yourself if you don't know this or you don't observe that. So I worked with a guy called Andrew Flynn, who's based in Galway. I've worked with him about 6 or 7 times now. I met him first in Galway in 1999 when I worked for Druid in The Country Boy, another great play about emigration. It was the first play about emigration, and it was just about somebody coming back to a farm in Mayo to take his younger brother to America, projecting this idea that everything was great. And then it turns out he's an alcoholic and they're living in a kind of a dive and life's terrible there. And it was had a huge impact because nobody talked about emigration in the 50s and 60s. It was just something that happened and you didn't deal with it, you put up with it. But anyway, I worked with Andrew, and Andrew's worked with, he's done a lot of McDonagh's plays, but I've been in 4 of McDonagh's plays. I was in the West End for 6 months in The Lieutenant of Inishmore, and then I did The Beautiful Queen of Lennon on tour in England in the Gaiety. And then Pillow Man, which is another one which toured around, came to Cork. So I've got a good understanding of the language. However, Hangman at the Gaiety was a sellout. And what was brilliant about it was that his film, the Banshees of Inisherin, created a whole new audience. There was about 50, they reckoned that 60% of the audience were men in their 20s to 30s who'd never been to the theatre before. And so they were getting a wonderful first taste of how good theatre can be. And there's a big concern about audiences post-COVID. You know, the Arts Council and various other institutions like the Irish Theatre Forum, which kind of looks after venues and deals with venues and deals with all aspects of running a venue. But their thing about audiences is that they're very, very, very diminished. And so what's great about Hangman is that how many people I reckon saw it? I think it was about 25,000 people came to see it in the 4 weeks it was on, you know, and it was wonderful, wonderful applause. They were delighted to be there. They were seeing something good, and there were like 12 actors in the play as well. So it was a big company of people. So it was wonderful to do. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but my brother, who knows his theatre, saw it and said it was absolutely magnificent.
Great, yeah.
So
I think it has a life. I mean, I think they were kicking themselves that they only put it on for 4 weeks. Because I'd say the amount of business that they did in that time, I mean, it'd be somewhere between 750,000 and possibly close to 1 million in 4 weeks, you know. And you know, although it was an expensive production, they made a fair wad for themselves. But I think that Like, we've had people to visit from England as well. So I think that what they have is a wonderful product. And that at a time when people are still reticent about going to the theatre, people are saying, oh, well, if you can fill a 1,100-seater theatre, you know, every night of a week, then we want a piece of this. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came back.
Oh, lovely.
You know, so it'd be a nice, easy job for me. I played Pierre Point, by the way, the English hangman.
Oh, yes.
Who actually hung people in Ireland as well.
He did. He used to come over and stay, and then he'd do his job, and then he'd go back.
And he almost carried a revolver as well, just in case.
Probably rightly so. Let's talk about Country and Irish, Patrick McCabe's
play. Yeah, well, this play, I was working with, coincidentally, with Andrew Welch on another play, a Kevin Barry series of short stories that was adapted into a performance for the Galway Arts Festival 2 years ago. And I'd started my own company. Fight to Flight Theatre is my company. And I started it because I want to present my own work. And I just reached a point. It wasn't kind of post-cancer, but there was something about kind of being out of stuff and just realising that there is a kind of, the clock's ticking, that I really want to start taking more control of my creative career. And so I just started to go and talk to people. And it's amazing if you, like, that you can just go out to somebody and say, look, I want to do two plays a year and I want to get work with new writers and I want to do them here and I want to do that for the next 5 years. And people go, great. No, go and find your money and all that. And it was that easy. Now, OK, trying to find, like, this tour has cost me, you know, 30,000. That's what the money that I had to raise. And I've got that from most venues guarantee. The box office, like, they get a subvention from the Arts Council to subsidise work, and so that they, I can guarantee, so it's all there. But if I want to do a play with three or four people, then the costs
go away.
Go up exponentially. However, that's where I'm at the moment. So I've got plans to do a tour every year and to do two new productions then in Dublin, where I have a kind of a venue manager who's prepared to give me the opportunity to do that. I just have to find the money. And the Arts Council has been generous to me on small projects, so they give me money to develop stuff, but I haven't had money yet to do a full production, you know, where I can pay 10 people a salary for the 6 weeks that it takes to create and then to run a production.
And so, before you put on a production, like, we'll say if you did put on a production like that, would you have to have all your money together before you even start?
No, what you do is you just have about, I would say about a third of it. Like, I was lucky because doing Hangman, I was able to save money. It was a well-paid job. But you need to be... Like, I've got some very understanding people. There's a couple of people that I've hired who are happy to wait to be paid. Like, the graphic artist, the producer, and the PR person are all happy to wait until the money starts coming in. But you need at least a third, possibly 40% of it in your pocket. So, and luckily, I had a little bit of money over that I was able to spend. But it gets a bit hairy. You think, like, oh God, who you know? Can I? It's fine, but it's all new for me. But it's not. It's just a question of how quickly people are going to pay. But it is a risky business, you know.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I have insurance as well. You can't go out on the road unless you have insurance for public liability and for your employees. But also there's cancellation insurance that I didn't realise. So I was paying for this insurance for like 26 performances and 21 venues. And then I just saw this thing. Oh, so I'm actually covered, you know. So it's good. But the play fell into my lap. I was working with Andrew and he said, I had this play. And I'd applied to the Arts Council for a lot of money to do one of my own plays, which I'm hopefully going to do next year. And it didn't happen. But he said, why don't you have a look at this? I don't think I can do anything with this. So I read it. It was bonkers. And then I phoned Pat and I said, look, I think I could make this into a one-man show. What do you think? And he said, go ahead. And he gave me the rights and he allowed me to adapt it. And then I went back to him with the adaptation and mostly he went, oh, that's grand. Change a bit of this, change that, change this. And so I sort of honed it into a one-man show. And it's a kind of, it's very typically McCabe. It's very funny, but it's very kind of, there's a lot of kind of social commentary in there, and it's very wacky as well. And the premise is that this guy who's from he's a North Midlands gangster, fancies himself as a kind of the star of his own kind of film noir, 1940s style film noir, and he's recording he starts off recording his life story. In the same way that a guy called Walter Neff does in Double Indemnity. So it's a black and white film in which this guy's lying on a couch and he's telling a story and he's wounded, he's been shot, and he goes into this big rigmarole about how he you know, he got involved with a sort of a femme fatale. And so this character is talking about his life, except that he runs a business called Midford Motor Factors. And he talks like that. And he's got a Polish girlfriend who betrays him. And, you know, and it's... But in that era are the is a vision of Ireland, a contemporary vision of Ireland, which is highly critical of how our value systems have gone. And the term country in Irish is like is kind of like that's what we used to be. There was a sort of an integrity to country music, which Pat's a great fan of. And I worked with him before. And he was just saying that, you know, the music of Ireland when he was growing up was country music. Irish country, not trad. No. That's been completely supplanted, and everybody thinks we're all river dancing around the place. But if you went up to the country in the 60s, 70s, I remember being in Clonagilty and seeing Rolly Daniels, and the place was hopping with people, like, you know, 1,000 people in a hall. But it was all country music. You know, the trad music was something that happened in pubs or in Kiltis Kiltori or you know, Conan na Gaeilge type. Or it was kind of marginal. And I know that in Ennis, like Sharon Shannon and her sister, they're brilliant musicians, but it was one school teacher taught that class of young people music and revived it. But it had almost kind of died, really, in a lot of areas.
Up in Tuna National School, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I'm from Ennis.
Oh, you're from Ennis, of course. So do you play the whistle?
No, I don't play anything. So tomorrow night, what time starting?
Starts at 8 o'clock.
And is there a break?
There isn't. No, it goes all the way through. It's a one-man show, so it runs for about an hour. Tickets on the door. You can pay cash.
Yeah.
And we've been given a grant by the Cork County Council to bring it here, to support it. So the ticket prices are very cheap. You know, it's 15 or 10 for concessions. So if you're unemployed, student, elderly or disabled, you can get in for 10 euro.
It's great value.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's a very good production. Like, I've got very... The creative team, I've got a lighting designer, a proper kind of stage designer, a director, and then we have a kind of a whole sound designer as well. So it's a very high quality production. And it's bananas, but it's so much...
Okay.
It's so much fun, and I just hope that the people of y'all will come out and support it, because you'll get good value and good crack.
Well, I have my ticket got anyway already, so I'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, great.
Look, Peter, thanks a million for coming in and talking to us. Absolutely great to see you.
Declan, thank you very much, and good luck on your new career.
Thank you.